Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And we want to welcome managing broker, Christian Ross. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. We're so glad to have you sharing with us today. And thank you so much for taking time out to just kind of talk to us about how this virus is really impacting the real estate industry. First of all, give us an idea of the
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The firm and the real estate company that you work with, do you deal with commercial real estate? Do you deal with non-commercial residential? Tell us about what you deal with from a broad perspective.
Yeah, so we handle residential, we handle commercial. So if that's business owners looking for space, or if it's a homeowner that's looking to buy or sell, or someone that's looking for a rental, we handle full scope of services across the board for real estate.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's awesome. So just tell us in your own professional experience, like, how is this coronavirus impacting the real estate industry?
You know, it's so interesting right now because, you know, everyone keeps using the word unprecedented, and it is unprecedented. However, I feel like we've almost been preparing ourselves to step up to the plate if something were to happen where people could not get out of their homes. We're using more 3D video. We're using traditional video, virtual tours. I mean, whenever I've dealt with international buyers, I was always their eyes and ears before they even saw the property, if they even saw the property. So
okay.
It's something we've been used to, but this just brings it to a whole nother level. And it's paused, but it's still consistent right now. It's super serious, people.
Are you seeing a lot of contracts being terminated, or what are people doing, putting it on pause or what?
So we see buyers, some of them are putting their search on pause, and some of them are like, hey, I know that I've already been in multiple offer situations. So they're like, hey, maybe there's less buyers. And there are definitely people on the sidelines, but then you have people who are just like, hey, I need to buy right now. But we are seeing terminations, unfortunately, due to job loss, or terminations that are like, hey, I'm just skittish. And unfortunately, though, if someone is further along in their contract, fear is not a reason to cancel a contract. So, you know, that it's a fine line everyone's walking right now.
Mm-hmm. And why would fear not be a reason to cancel a contract, in your opinion?
It just comes down to Georgia law and the contracts and the way they're written. If certain contingencies and guidelines and timelines are complete, then you are bound to that contract. So if you're in what they call the due diligence phase, where you can terminate because the sky's blue, then you can get out of the contract. But once you're past certain timelines, you just can't. You still have that obligation. And if you do cancel, which you can, you just have to recognize that you're probably going to lose the money that you put down for earnest money, your AKA good faith money.
So you're finding that there really aren't any concessions in the real estate industry because of the pandemic. You just still have to abide by your contract.
You definitely still have to abide by your contract. However, we do have stipulations that we're putting in now that we weren't putting in a few months ago. Those are, hey, if someone comes down with COVID, the contract automatically extends by X number of days. Or it gives the buyer and seller a right to terminate. So really, it's what you're putting into the contract, and it's the people who may have gone under contract earlier last month that we didn't have those guidelines in place at that time.
Okay. And are those some addendums that you're making to contracts already, or are you just now putting them in new contracts?
We're putting them in new contracts, and then we are circling back. Again, it still has to be negotiated if it's already a contract that's in place.
Okay.
But we are able, I feel like a lot of people, which is great, are flexible. You know, the saying is we're all in this together. It should be like that all the time. But I feel like right now, I feel like right now we're definitely seeing that buyers and sellers are just being more flexible and having latitude.
Right. Okay. Well, we have a listener on the calls, on our phone lines that would like to ask your question. Go right ahead with your question.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to On Point.
I'm sorry. You know, it's a hesitant. You couldn't hear. Hi. I'm so glad you're taking my question. So there are a lot of things that real estate, well, I'm in Georgia, so I don't know if the real estate person that you're expert that you're speaking to is from Georgia. But before the virus hit Georgia, there were a lot of other things that were hitting the Georgia market. And my question is, because I have friends that are looking for properties, I want to ask about these investors that are really hurting, along with the coronavirus, but that hurt the market before Corona came or COVID-19 came. There are so many investors that are investing in Georgia from other states where it's becoming even harder. And then I personally am blaming the real estate market for that. Can you touch on that? Does Georgia have any, like, criteria, any let's say maximum as to like, if a subdivision is being built, because we don't have any rent control there, where we can have investors from all different parts of different states and just come in and buy a lot of those houses, and then rent those houses out at enormous amounts of rent. What is the real estate market doing in reference to that? Just outside of Corona-19, but now since a lot of people are going to have housing issues, not just the ones that are buying, but the ones that are losing. And the ones that are actually renting who don't have any help in that regard, and there's so many investors in Georgia now, what is the real estate market doing in Georgia to combat that particular problem?
Thank you. Good question.
That's a great question. Actually, something I always bring up in my homebuyer seminars is, you know, in the past, investors were looking at really dilapidated properties. But now they realize that the rental pool is so good in Georgia, specifically the Atlanta metro area, that they are buying houses and they're competing with first-time home buyers, which does make it more difficult when you're talking cash or if they're hedge funds. So as a whole, the real estate market, like, we can't do anything per se in that regard. However, subdivisions have set up new controls. If it's a brand new subdivision, they're putting in that, hey, only 10% or 15% or 20% can be investors. You're starting to see that more and more now, just to make sure that it doesn't turn into a rental community when people have invested their money into that community. So it's more so on the side of the subdivision, and even homeowner associations are sometimes changing their guidelines to make sure that, hey, we're capping it. In condos, that's been done like forever, but it's now coming over to the single family market.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Are you still here, caller? Okay. All right. So what do you say, Christian, to those who are renting properties right now and they're having problems? They're renting houses and they're having challenges with paying that monthly rent or even that mortgage, those who are purchasing and living in homes. What do you say to those individuals and families?
I definitely say call your landlord and call your mortgage provider, because right now it's all about communication with, you know, maybe they can set up a plan. Your lender can create a forbearance where you don't have to pay for X amount of months. It does get added to the back of the loan, but at least you don't have to pay right now. But you want to make sure whatever agreement you have, rental or if you own your home, that you are getting it in writing. And that you're
good.
That it will not impact your credit. And that is also on that letter.
Yes, getting it in writing and make sure that it doesn't impact your credit. That's very good to know. Hey, stick around. More to come. We're going to ask Christian, you know, what specifically have you experienced with your clients since the outbreak? And what about those agents? How can agents leverage their work around the crisis? More to come. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, Radio News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, right here at News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. We have Christian Ross, managing broker and real estate expert, on the lines with us today, talking about the impact the virus is having on the real estate industry. Christian, a person who was thinking about purchasing a house and interested in purchasing any type of real estate, would you say now is a good time, in your opinion, or does that depend on the region? Does it depend on geographical areas? What would you say?
You know, I think now is a good time to buy. I feel like you have less competition, but again, it's all about your particular situation. So if you're looking at investment property and you're not using cash or using a loan, I would say wait a few months. Let that particular market calm down as far as the lending. If you are traditional and looking for a home to buy, now is a great time. Rates are low. I know my client locked in a rate that my mouth was dropped the other day.
Mm-hmm,
and I was like, wow. And they're getting, you know, beautiful new home. And I was actually able to negotiate $5,000 more from the builder in addition to the incentives they were offering. So my client is actually getting money back at the closing table. So there's a lot of different situations that could be advantageous for you right now. So I would definitely say it's a good time if you have a particular goal and you're ready to move forward.
How would you say the job market is for those that are in the real estate industry when you actually talk about builders and others, contractors? How is the job market right about now, would you say, in the midst of this pandemic for those who are working in different parts of the real estate industry?
Yeah, I definitely think it's challenging right now. You know, I've been blessed with just being in the business so long that I have a lot of repeat clients. But I think now it's more important than ever that whether someone's been in the business 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, that they need to make sure that they're calling and just loving on their people and finding out what they need, how they can help, give them resources. Because when you're just a help to other people, things just come your way. It's just a matter of how that works. So, I think the painters, though, they're still doing a lot of business. They're socially distanced. If you go by any construction sites, construction is still going on. Because of the way they are spaced out on jobs, they're allowed to keep working. You know, when it comes to like your home stager or your interior designer, it's definitely going to be slower. But I think it gives the time for them to focus on their marketing, focusing on calling past clients, and then working on building that pipeline for once everything returns back to quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, so you're still working, you're still building that client base and just marketing and positioning and branding yourself as well. So what about when it comes to restaurants and even small businesses with office space and restaurants, the space that they have now, what do you recommend to those who have had to, a lot of the restaurants nowadays are doing takeout orders only, and they don't actually need the space right now and are challenged with still paying that monthly lease or that monthly rent payment? What do you say to those type of business owners who are facing that crisis?
I mean, I would definitely say try to go for that government loan program that they have right now, but also to, again, call your landlord, see if there's any way they can help. Maybe you can pay 20% this month. And I think that's the one thing that makes it so difficult, is because especially with buildings, commercial space, you know, those aren't government-backed loans. So whoever is that person who's mortgaging it, they're looking for their money, even if someone's not paying.
Wow. Okay. So they still have to just contact the landlord and see if they're willing to make some adjustments. And if not, they still have to do what they have to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. Right.
Wow, unfortunately. Now, one of the markets in the real estate that has drastically been impacted is the hotel industry. Yes. What's happened with that? Kind of paint that picture for us in terms of what's happening in the hotel industry and hospitality.
So, I mean, right now I have friends who've been laid off, furloughed in hospitality, and they're really in a wait and see right now. And then when you think about the individual hoteliers, they may consider themselves the people who have an Airbnb. Right now they're now looking for long-term tenants. So I would hope that with that, maybe some of the rents go down just a little bit, because homes that were Airbnbs will be offered to long-term tenants. We're already starting to see some of our clients say, hey, if you can find someone, like, we're not making an income off of Airbnb, we would love to have a long-term tenant. Which means they'll probably end up having a long-term tenant for 1 to 3 years. Mm-hmm, so hopefully that helps the rental market as well.
Yeah, here in Georgia, there has been a limit the governor put on the Airbnb in terms of how long individuals can stay as they're coming in from out of town. What specifically have you experienced with your clients since the outbreak?
My clients, it's been such a mix. I have my investors that are like, what can we find? What can we do? I have my buyers who are, maybe their job has had a budget cut and maybe they're taking a pay cut. So they're still thankfully getting a paycheck, but maybe they're at 10 to 15% less.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Of their paycheck. Also, too, some of the credit score requirements have gone up for loans. So sometimes, and this has been more so with my colleagues versus my personal clients, they've had to really extend the contract because hopefully they can get their score up to the new score requirements. But that's only because the market's scared. And whenever the market's scared, they are going to price that risk. And right now, everyone's a risk. If you're talking 20% unemployment or any type of scary figure, that's going to look risky and scary to a lender.
But are buyers looking now for good deals and worthwhile properties? And also investors, are they looking for communities and land where they can really make some good investments there right now?
Oh, definitely. I would say, like, my one client, it's interesting. We put in an offer this morning, and we put in the original offer March 24th. So that's a little over 2 weeks ago, put in the offer. It was multiple offer situation. When you're talking under $350,000, it's multiple offers.
Okay.
There were multiple offers on the table. We lost. And we lost because the buyers were a veteran, thank him for his service, and a nurse. Thank her for her service on the front lines. And they said, you know what? Wife is on the front lines. We want to go with them. I said, okay. Just steadily called, checked in. How's everything going? Great. Okay. Now they're at that point we talked about before where they're done with any way they could get out of the contract without being obligated to give up their good faith money, their earnest money. And they decided, you know what? We've had a family issue. We need to get out of the contract. Well, unfortunately, that also presents the opportunity for my buyer. We just wrote a new offer and we went higher than the list price to get it done. So
okay.
It's so interesting. It's really like, if it's priced well, it's in good condition, and it's under a certain price points are really competitive right now.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good to know. More to come with Christian Ross, real estate expert, coming up right here on Point with Wandel and Stokes, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandel and Stokes right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Real estate expert, managing broker Christian Ross is sharing with us today the impact the virus is having on the real estate industry. We have a question from one of our callers. 404-892-2703 is the number to call if you have any questions about the real estate industry. Let's see, Alan from Atlanta. Pleasant, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing? My first time calling to your show. I enjoy your show. I listen to you every day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. I just want to say that I've been buying homes since I was 21. I've been in Atlanta. I fresh out of the military. This year, make my 31st year. So I bought my first home at 21, and I've purchased a home every year since. So I'm about to have my 30th piece of real estate here in a couple of days, some land I'm about to purchase. But in my opinion, and I know that agents, you know, everyone wants to be optimistic and so forth. And I know agents, they make their money by selling houses. And, from my opinion, yes, people say it's a good time to buy because the rate is low. But I believe that if you can be patient and wait, I would say between 6 months to a year, you're going to see the real estate market decline substantially. I look at the real estate, these real estate websites every single day. My wife and I, we're always scanning, looking for deals. And I've already begin to see that people are cutting their prices on these homes. A lot of homeowners are cutting prices. Why? Because, one, there's a lot of uncertainty in our marketplace right now. And I've been seeing a lot of houses come on these websites, especially Zillow. I look at Zillow every day and Realtor.com and so forth. A lot of people are trying to sell their house because of the uncertainty. And I've seen prices cut from $10,000 to $25,000. And as it relates to some of the upper echelon homes, I've seen them cut $150,000 within the last 2 weeks. So I would say, yes, if you just have to have a home and you just feel like, oh, I've seen this house and I'm in love with this particular house, buy it. But if you wait, you're going to save a lot of money because I'm already seeing the decline in the real estate market. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. What do you say to that, Christian? What is your response?
Yeah, well, I appreciate your outlook on that. For what I'm seeing, if someone needs to make a move, they're making a move no matter what the market is. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that a lot of sellers, because their minds are in 2 to 3 years ago, they're like, oh, this is the price that I want. They have their head up in the air and they're now getting reality. So when you see a lot of price cuts, those price cuts are because a lot of times the seller didn't listen to the guidance and said, I want to start here. And so they started there, but then you see them coming down. I know in certain listing agreements, when I have clients that say, I want to start here, I already have it in a stipulation. It says, if we don't have X amount of showings, if we don't have 10 showings in 2 weeks, then we agree to take the price down to X. But at the same time, in a market like New York, I can definitely see those prices happening. It's already starting to, but they're still having huge closings, even with no one moving into the homes, which is crazy. They can't even move right now. So in a market like New York that's been inflated for a very long time, I see that. But we have so many people continuously coming to Atlanta, retiring to the Atlanta metro area, that I think our prices are still going to hold firm. You may get a little more of a concession, a little more closing costs, maybe a home warranty. But as far as a big dip, I don't see that. I mean, even pending home sales month after month, and we knew what we were going into, they were up 66% month over month. So people are still making moves. And I think our market's not overpriced. I think it really is other New York, Florida, Miami markets that are.
Yeah, New York has always been inflated. And New York is more of an investor's market and a renter's market, would you say?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, but right now we're seeing that when people are buying there, they're able to negotiate more in closing costs, able to negotiate a little bit more off of their sales price. And this is what we heard from our New York office, because of the fact that they can't move in and they may not be able to move in for maybe 2 months. So they're getting a bigger discount. But New York's been hit so hard that I think we're going to definitely see more price subtractions there.
Okay, I see. Well, what do you say to real estate agents that are finding it difficult in this during this pandemic to even be able to sell houses, to even just get work? What do you say about that? And how can those real estate agents who are challenged during this time, what can they do to improve their visibility in the marketplace and to just really help to build themselves? Some have just like, okay, that's it. Nobody's buying, nobody's selling. And perhaps maybe it is because they're not marketing and positioning themselves. What do you say to that?
I think it could definitely somewhat be marketing, but I think now is the time to level up. You have more time on your hands, level up, take more webinars, improve your skill set, learn about different areas, maybe do more rentals and market to people who need rentals. Either way, you need to pivot and turn to adjust yourself to the marketplace, but you should definitely be using this time to increase your skill set. I'm on a webinar every day trying to look at different industries and seeing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And also, would you say that cruise ships is a part of that real estate industry as well?
I'm glad we're not in cruise ships.
I know some would say that it is, and then some would say no, cruise ships, because they're having it hard during this time.
Oh man, I mean they're having it hard. I have actually, it's funny, I feel like I'm, you know, the cartoon Dora the Explorer. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm Dora the Explorer. I have traveled a lot, but I have not been on a cruise, because something about being on a boat trapped in the water just does something to me. But
okay.
A lot of people love cruises, and that's great. But I mean, I can only hope that they have a rebound, and I hope this helps them see what they need to do with efficiencies in cleaning, sterilization, because this is an opportunity for them to grow too, significantly.
That's true. That is so true. What do you say to those who are interested in purchasing or making investments? What are some resources, whether it's books or whether it's websites, where they can actually become more educated and more informed in the knowledge of the real estate industry? If they're just interested in making an investment, interested in purchasing, what do you say? What are those resources or some of the resources that people can take advantage of, or some of the books that they can read?
Yeah, I love financial books. And also productivity. Like, there's one called Getting Things Done, and I think that's such a good one because it helps you understand. Like, for me, I'm a very action-oriented person, and I'm like, you know what? I need to look at progress. What am I doing? Because a lot of times you can read these books and you get overwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, what is it? Think and Grow Rich is one of those classics that talks about the real estate investing world. What is Gary Keller's? The Red Book is actually a Georgia law, like, stipulation book. It's great, but it'll make you fall asleep, so you don't want that one. But I'm trying to think, too. As far as books, I'd have to get back to you on books because I have a whole list in my mind that they're not coming up right now. But as far as when you go to Google, make sure that you're looking up smart real estate investing.
Okay.
Buying my first home. Like, Egypt Sherrod has a great book about purchasing and things to know so that you don't freak out when you're buying a first home. Like, you know, one of those things is an inspection report. It's usually going to be 50 pages. Don't freak out when you see a 50-page inspection report. They're showing you everything. There's pictures. There's big print. So I think if you're definitely start with, is it the Robert Kiyosaki book, if you want to invest. But I think if you're a first-time buyer, that Egypt Sherrod book is a great one.
Oh, that's good. That's good. More to come. Christian Ross right here, real estate expert right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. The number to call, 404-892-2703. If you have any questions about real estate, more to come. Keep listening. We are News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Christian Ross, real estate professional, expert, managing broker. Some people, Christian, they function so well in crisis. And I understand, you know, that you were extremely successful during the housing crisis back in 2008. Tell us how you were able to just kind of navigate through it and really be successful in a crisis.
Oh, just saying the numbers 2008 makes me kind of shiver. So I had to snap my mind back really quick. But no, it was so hard. I mean, it's one of those times, like a lot of people, you lost everything. And then, you know, also too, helping clients, I was helping them negotiate short sales. You know, I had investors, of course, that picked up foreclosures and have amassed a ridiculous amount of wealth during that time period. But for the rest of us, it was, you're just trying to survive. And for me, realizing how the market was, I just started to do just more video of just like, hey, would you like to invest in Atlanta? Because we're on sale. I started helping a lot of investors, but then I also started helping a lot of first-time home buyers who were, you know, if they went in to purchase in the neighborhoods they purchased in before, they would not be able to afford it. But they're also being like 31, 32 now, you know, maybe a little bit older, and they're getting $100,000 checks at the closing table that they're able to invest in their business or, you know, be able to help their parents out, give to a community center, to a school. So it's awesome to see what my clients are doing when they're able to get that wealth. But for me, I was just hunkered down, focusing on like Ellen said, you know, agents make their money from real estate, buying and selling homes. I feel like you make your money just by protecting your clients. So by really focusing on my skills and getting better and networking and traveling, spending money helped me to make more money.
Oh, okay. Making that investment in yourself and even in your business. If one is a first time home buyer, what kind of concessions should they ask in the offer?
I mean, right now I'm asking for a lot of closing costs. I just feel like if we're able to come to terms on price, then let's have that buyer have the minimal amount down. So I'm just trying to get as much in closing costs, you know, home warranty. So at least they know they're coming in and they'll have a minimal cost to offset if something does go wrong after 30 days, because it's a house and an inspection is a snapshot in time. So really closing costs, because that makes a big difference to the bottom line. And I will tell anyone listening, if you're negotiating, do not negotiate sales price, negotiate closing costs, because your sales price is amortized over 30 years. It's not a lot of difference, but you feel it on your bottom line if it's less money for you to bring to closing, if it's added to your closing cost.
Okay. Well, what about, is the home, like if a home is in a flood zone
or prone to other natural disasters. Is that something that is made known to a potential buyer?
Yes, that is disclosed. And the good thing is, too, is that you can always request what's called a CLUE report that the insurance companies have. It shows if there's any claims over the past 5 years. So that's nice. And but one thing I want to say, if someone has passed away in a home, you need to ask, because they do not have to disclose that in the state of Georgia.
Oh, okay. 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 Now, when you're buying a home, what's really included in that? What's included in the sale itself?
It really depends on whatever you negotiate. I mean, I've literally negotiated a dog before, and I know that sounds funny, but I have negotiated. It was probably about 10 years ago I negotiated a dog. My buyer just fell in love. But we do not negotiate pets. We negotiate furniture, maybe there's blinds, appliances, a washer and dryer, anything that can help you come into the home and be as seamless as possible for you to just step in and just live.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good. But, you know, oftentimes when people are trying to get homes and they apply for a loan and you get X amount approved for the loan, should you always look for a house that is being sold at the same amount of the loan that you approved for? Or
no.
What do you? Okay. Okay.
That's such a great question. I always tell clients, you live in the monthly payment, not the sales price. So I have a lot of clients, they may can afford $500,000. But when we look at that monthly price, they're comfortable at whatever number. And so now we're looking at $350,000. Or, you know, they're, whatever that tier is, we are going with what fits in their monthly price. And the biggest thing is with taxes, you can only divide them by 12. So that, you know, that purchase price, we can divide over 30 years. But taxes, whew.
Oh, that's very key. That's very key. So should a person get a fixed rate loan or an adjustable rate mortgage?
It's always with someone's situation. If someone moves around a lot, they may want to do an adjustable rate. But I feel like just fixed just feels good. You know, your rate's locked. You don't have to worry. And, you know, I've kind of been a gypsy. I've lived in my condo the longest. I've lived in a place, and that's been 5 years. My husband and I have literally bought and sold every two and a half to three years like clockwork. So for me, if I got an adjustable rate mortgage, I would be fine with that because I knew I wouldn't be at a place longer than 5 years.
Now
I'm like, no, I'm not moving. So I appreciate having fixed and just knowing that that payment is there.
Right, right. What is the rule of thumb around the down payment and how much you should put down for a down payment? What's the rule of thumb? Does it vary in different states?
A lot of times it's very, I would say for most states, it's going to be the same. For FHA, because it's a federal loan, you're looking at 3.5% down. Conventional loans are generally 5%, but there are banks that are doing 3% down. I would say in this environment, they may switch that back to 5%, but it is common to find a 3% conventional loan sometimes now with usually regional banks. And then, you know, if you want a lower rate, you can have a higher down payment, but at least you know. Oh, and VA, of course, for our veterans, it's 100% financing. And there are some niche products that are 100%. But again, those are probably going away just for a little while.
Just for a little while. One thing you mentioned, and I know you got to go. What's in the closing fees? Because I know you said earlier, hey, make sure you negotiate the closing fees. What are those closing fees? Is that appraisal, attorney, title insurance? What's in those closing fees? What does that comprise
of? Yes. So a lot of those are fixed. So you want to negotiate that number to take that number down. So that's usually attorney fees, title insurance, which is one of those big things. At the closing table, you may look at the number and say, wait a minute, I don't want to pay this $400. It's $400 or however much amount, and it lasts you for the lifetime of the time that you have your home. So if for some reason, Joe the plumber put a lien on the property and says that the past seller owed him money, you can just call the attorney and just get them to handle it. It's worth every penny. Or if somehow they wrote the description wrong and that person's house is showing on your land, you just call the attorney, get it done. But it's attorney fees. It's lender fees if you have a lender, attorney fees. Title fees, and usually the appraisal is paid outside. So it's all those little things like recording the deed, you know, $29, $99. It just adds up.
Yeah, it just keeps adding up. Wow. Well, thank you so much. You've been so informative with us today. Tell our audience how they can stay connected to you or get in touch with you or follow you.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I am Christian Sold It on all platforms. I'm ChristianSoldIt.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Christian Sold It.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And we appreciate you. Thank you for sharing with
thank
On
you.
Point.
Have
a good one. All right.
Too.
Stay. Thank you. Stay healthy. Stay on point. Stay connected. More to come. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes right here on News and Talk. We are 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.